If you manage networks, chances are your job isn't what it used to be. We look at the evolving administrator today on IT Business Out Loud.
This podcast has been brought to you by IBM. Check out our IT Optimization to Meet Business Goals white paper and learn how new technologies can support innovative business strategies. Go to ibm.com/CIO.
Hi, this is IT Business Out Loud. I'm Dave Webb in for Shane Schick. So, what hat are you wearing today? Chances are, if you're a network administrator, it's more than one. IT educator Jason Eckert says the job involves skill sets that didn't exist in the 90s or that were part of another discipline altogether. We discussed five recent additions to the network administration landscape.
Jason, when I originally approached you about this, I positioned this story as five network jobs that didn't exist 5 years ago because journalists like nice simple stories like that. But of course, it's not that simple. But you did isolate some trends in changing IT jobs. And you talked about five specifically. What were those?
There's several of them, but the main trend that we're seeing between, say, the 1990s and now is we're seeing less specialized jobs. In the 90s, you could get a job as a DBA, a database administrator. Today, you wouldn't get a job as a DBA per se. DBA would be one part of an existing job as a general administrator. You might be a virtualization administrator where you would manage the virtualization in your company, because that's a big cost savings and management thing right now. And even Intel and AMD are coming out with virtualization and what they call the hypervisor, the thing that does it all right on the chip. So you don't even need an operating system on the machine. It'll just get your virtualized operating systems. You might see part of Active Directory as your job and SQL, you know, as a database administrator. We're seeing more generalized stuff and even more scripting. There's a lot more scripting out there now, too. Like, you're responsible for making something work. So the network admin of today has a lot more pressures than the network admin of the 90s. And the reason being is because we're not specialized. You don't get hired for one job and we pay you this to do that. You're expected to use your skill set in various areas. And databases are definitely growing. In the 90s, you were a DBA or you were a network administrator, and the two didn't talk to each other. And if you did, I mean, you didn't know much about SQL if you were a network administrator. You didn't know much about networking if you were a DBA. Now, pretty much every network administrator will have to touch a database somewhere and will have to understand a lot of what goes on the design side as well in order to properly use that database. And SQL is a dry topic, so it's usually the thing you hear people complain about the most nowadays.
Okay. Having touched on the DBA issue, let's talk about virtualization administration. What's driving that and what it means to you in terms of an education?
Well, virtualization really is new. And on the education side, we don't do it. We just don't do it. In fact, in Southern Ontario, there are no colleges that currently teach virtualization. We're planning to teach virtualization starting in our 2008 programs. The reason being is it's a fast and very strong movement that essentially saves companies a bunch of money. Now, for companies who've gone to virtualization, there are quite a few, they almost entirely use VMware, which is probably the best virtualization environment. And what it does is simple. Say you have three very large servers, and we're talking, you know, good class servers that are about $15,000, $20,000 a piece, quad Xeons of some type. And you need to run DHCP servers, you need DNS servers, you need SQL servers. That means that you have to buy a machine for each of those roles, and they're very underutilized. That's how we did computing up until recently. Companies are now looking at that and saying, you know what, we can do better. Not just for saving money on, you know, RAM and hardware utilization, saving money on the management. And that's really where virtualization is in there. It's not on saving money on hardware, it's more for the management. Because I could have three servers, and one server has three apps, another server has three apps, and another server has three apps. And who knows what they are? They could be like SQL, they could be Exchange, and they could be their own operating system running each of these apps. So we essentially have nine apps and nine operating systems running those nine apps. One of those applications in one of those OSs that are virtualized is SQL. And at the end of the month, they need to do heavy-duty reporting. Because these three virtualized servers are clustered, two of those OSs on one of the machines will move to the other two. And that one operating system that's running SQL that needs to do those heavy-duty end-of-month reports will use that one quad Xeon to its full potential. And then when it's done, the other applications will move back. So it's the dynamic management that virtualization gives us that is really attractive for companies. And companies that are realizing that now are jumping on the bandwagon and really going to virtualization. Someone a couple weeks ago told me that virtualization wasn't big. You know, it's just slowly catching on. Well, that's not what I see, and that's not what it is out in the industry. It's already there. It's already big, and almost everybody is already doing it. And they're doing it at very high levels. Just noticing that VMware World in California, drew a crowd of 10,000 people in a spot that held 7,000 and had to turn away 6,000 people. It's proof of that. These are the people who are flying out who are IT managers, right? So virtualization is really big, and it's going to make its way into colleges and the educational field, but tomorrow, it won't be today, it'll be tomorrow, it'll be like next year.
Certificate administration is another growing task you identified. That isn't as new as virtualization.
No, that's been around for some time. It really started around early 2000, and it started picking up probably about 2002, 2003 in most industries, because Windows 2000 was the main purveyor of that. Certificates, for those who don't know much about cryptography, is simply strengthening asymmetric or public key cryptography such that a hacker, or what I should really call a cracker, some malicious person cannot do a man-in-the-middle attack on your traffic and not get caught. Certificates, what they do is they prove your identity. They have that little stamp of approval like a real certificate has. And that stamp of approval is from a certification authority like VeriSign or Thought or eTrust, or from a certification authority inside your own company. It costs a lot of money to actually pay VeriSign to sign your certificates used for technologies like SSL or EFS or VPNs so that you can't be vulnerable to a man-in-the-middle attack. But if you have a CA inside your company, you have to manage the deployment of certificates out to all the client computers and servers that need to participate in those secure technologies. It doesn't cost you anything aside from the server and Windows. If you have Enterprise Edition, it comes with a CA. But it requires a lot of administration, and it's tied into security because you want this whole process to be secure. One weak link in a security mechanism, like someone who gives out a password or someone who, compromises a certificate because they're allowed to do it, they're an administrator, can take the whole system down. So there's a lot of administration in there, and we see that often now because certificates are being used for a lot more technologies today than they were used in 2000 or even the late 90s. So even though there's no certificate administrator, I don't think many companies will be able to afford one aside from perhaps a bank or something that has a large infrastructure and a lot of security needs. Part of every admin's job now is to worry about certificates and understand cryptography and how that can be implemented and manage the implementation of it.
Now, open source isn't really new at all.
No, open source isn't new, but open source is slow to warm up. Open source has been around for a long, long time, and it's not going away, but companies were slow to adopt it. There's still a lot of companies today that are slow to adopt open source because they're afraid of it. There's nobody to sue. And if there's nobody to sue, it's hard for a manager to say, oh my God, I don't understand how they make money. Open source, to most IT managers or even business managers in a company, doesn't make sense because they were taught in university and college that you make money by selling. And open source isn't like that. Open source makes money by making good software that is free. Not free cost-wise, free as in freedom. Like, you have the source code. If you modify it, you can change it. If Microsoft decided to stop supporting SQL Server 2005 because they weren't getting enough sales, companies that built their whole database structure on that SQL Server will now have to spend a fortune to migrate over to a new system that was proprietary. If, however, it was open source, you have the source code. If nobody wants to modify that source code, you can hire programmers of your own, and they can modify the source code for you for as long as you want. You can also improve parts of the system to match what you need. So open source has a lot of benefits, but the communication of those benefits has been pretty weak in the late 90s and early 2000s with a lot of companies. Now they're starting to realize it. So now companies are starting to adopt a lot of open source technology because they're finally realizing what the benefits are. So it's been around for a long time. The benefits haven't been very clear. And a good example of that would definitely be IBM. IBM is always accredited with Linux, IBM and Dell and HP and stuff, because IBM makes a lot of money selling big clusters of their own hardware pre-installed with Linux, and they have a lot of Linux experts. And you've seen the commercials probably where they have like lots of Linux servers stacked up in a small closet that replaced a whole room full of servers and so on and so forth. And they're stable because they're Linux and they're open so you can change them to modify your needs. Well, IBM did that because they could. They had the expertise. They got the expertise and they marketed it. They're a company that actually went to the open source. Other companies wouldn't know where to start if they were to do the same thing IBM would do. So they slowly adopted open source over the last 5 years.
And you touched on scripting before. Maybe you could tell me what disciplines here on scripting is becoming a bigger part of the job.
Well, that actually stems back from administrators in the 90s. I'm old, so I know I know a lot of administrators from the 90s. And most administrators in the 90s would cringe if you mentioned, oh, I have to make a program. Oh, no. And a lot of people are still afraid of it. Nowadays, part of your job is to make something work and make it work seamlessly. The only way to do that is to actually involve some type of program making and script making. In the past, it's been Visual Basic for Windows, Visual Basic Script, VB Script for Windows, or for Linux, it was Perl or Oxed and Shell, Bash Shell scripting. Now, Windows has PowerShell, which is kind of like VB Script, only a little harder to use and slower, but it's a start in the right direction for Microsoft, and a lot of people are using it to automate tasks. And not just automate tasks like backups, but to check to see if servers are online, to see if you need to do this. So they're making these scripts, these sections of scripts, these bundles of scripts to actually go out and make their job easier. As an admin, that's now usually part of your job, to make those scripts to do these wonderful things. And that's something that was definitely different in the 90s. In the 90s, a network administrator would never be responsible for writing anything but a batch file. Nowadays, you really should know a scripting language. And especially for older admins, it's the one thing they're going to tell you nowadays, just learn a scripting language. My God. It causes me grief on a daily basis kind of thing. Now, I like scripting. My background is in programming, not necessarily network administration to begin with, but I find it funny when I see a lot of people, especially who are admins in the 90s, who they do a lot of scripting as part of their current job, and I've seen this in the last 5 years, but they never did it before that, and they found that kind of like baptism by fire. And they're enjoying it now, but they're telling everybody, you know, learn scripting, and we see it all the time. Scripting is something you're going to do, and even things like Exchange 2007. I'm currently writing the Microsoft official curriculum, academic curriculum for Microsoft for Exchange 2007. And one thing in Exchange 2007 is the fact that they use PowerShell to do about half of the administrative tasks in Exchange 2007. So you have to actually know scripting or part of scripting or at least the command syntax to actually do administrative tasks. And even Windows 2008, codenamed Longhorn, it has a command line version. There you can install Windows 2008 and you can tell it, no GUI, this is going to be on a Blade server. The GUI is just going to slow me down. So everything that you have to do has to be in something like PowerShell. So scripting is really becoming more and more important. And I've seen this slowly over the last decade, but it's really heightened in the last 3 or 4 years.
Jason Eckert is the head of the IT faculty for Trias. He spoke to us from Kitchener. For more of Jason's insight into the IT job market, check out his Career Corner blog on our sister site, IT World Canada. Visit blogs.itworldcanada.com/career. That's what it sounded like this week. For everybody at IT Business Out Loud, I'm Dave Webb. Thanks for listening.